Welcome to Red Meat, a collection of the tastiest tidbits from Odyssey's conservative news talk radio stations across the country, a place where we're not afraid to dig in. We've got an episode for you that's heavy on crime and punishment, or lack thereof, as we dive into the Epstein files, or the alleged files, we should say. We'll also talk to a guy who claims he's about to reveal who killed Jimmy Hoffa, and you can judge for yourself if you believe him. But before we get to that, we're talking tomatoes. You say tomatoes, I say tomatoes. Either way, President Donald Trump just sent tariff on the ones that come out of Mexico. And here's WWJ's Luke Sloan talking to farmers about what that means.
Hubert Burger Topping, you're talking about Jackie would be a tomato. The news comes after the Trump administration imposed a 17% tariff on tomatoes from Mexico going into effect this week. Now, some sellers that we're talking to here at Eastern Market this morning say this could increase prices. Others say it will help U.S. tomato growers. There are very few of them. Carmen Spaca owns H&S Produce here in Eastern Market and says he's not too concerned about it, noting that there aren't very many Michigan tomato growers anymore.
No, we're not. I mean, we haven't seen it. You know, we haven't seen any, they were dirt cheap. I mean, far too cheap. And now they've bumped up a little bit, but still cheaper than what normally would be.
Now, even though Spaca's not that concerned about price increases for tomatoes, some sellers here are, and that's the reason why, is the U.S. gets 70% of its tomatoes from Mexico. That's according to federal data, approximately $3 billion a year.
The 50th anniversary of Jimmy Hoffa's disappearance is coming up this month, and Scott Bernstein, a mob historian, author, podcaster, and documentarian, is producing a live event where he says he'll reveal once and for all what happened to the Teamster. We have a lot of questions, as we're sure you do, but we'll just let you listen to this interview between Dan Jenkins at WWJ Radio in Detroit and Bernstein and decide for yourself.
And then at the end, we're going to tell everybody who killed Jimmy Hoffa. We're going to give you a name, where he was taken and disposed of, where the body went. And we're going to let everybody know that this is what the FBI believes. It's not just us talking and telling you this. This is the official FBI theory, a half century after Hoffa disappeared from Bloomfield Township, from a Bloomfield Township restaurant parking lot on July 30th, 1975.
So is this information that the FBI has disclosed in the past, or is this information that they're not releasing?
It's information that they're not releasing. And, you know, frankly, I would hope that they would hold a press conference on the 50th anniversary, July 30th of this month, and kind of lay out to everybody what they know and why they know it, and kind of give everybody the lay of the land. But I sense they're not going to do that. So we're kind of taking the onus on ourselves, and we want to, you know, wrap this up, give people answers they've been looking for 50 years, put a big bow on it, and kind of finally put this thing to bed.
Why do it like this, though? Why do it at a ticketed event where people have to go and do this? Why not just put it out there like the FBI should?
What we're going to be providing them is very unique, and it has a lot of value, and I think it would just be a fun event to come take part in. And a lot of this stuff has been reported. We're kind of putting it all together, aggregating it, and giving a little bit of stuff that maybe you didn't know. And we're hoping to, you know, replicate this and kind of take it on the road as a, as a kind of a theatrical presentation.
Why do you think that the FBI wouldn't release this information?
Because the FBI is in the middle of what they consider a open and active investigation, and they don't comment on open and active investigations.
So if they know who killed him and they know what happened to the body, why wouldn't it be an open and closed case?
I mean, that's a question for the FBI.
What do you think?
I think that this has been a 50-year, tireless journey for investigators, and I think there's been literally tens of millions, if not hundreds of millions of dollars spent by the federal government in trying to finally bring an end to this mystery and in their mind, hopefully bring charges. And why I think there hasn't been charges brought is because I don't think there's anybody alive to bring charges for. I mean, everybody that was involved in this is dead.
So why would they sit on the information?
Again, that's a question for the FBI. I wonder the same. I think it's time to come out and bring this investigation to an end from an official perspective. I think they should come out and do a press conference and tell everyone what they know and kind of close it down. But it doesn't seem that that's where we're trending.
So over 50 years, I mean, we've had investigation over investigation through several different law enforcement entities. We've had digs. We've had everything. Why now, I guess?
50 years. You know, it's time for answers. It's time to let everybody know definitively the who, the why, the where, and the how.
Right.
And so, that's what we're presenting to people at our event.
How'd you figure it out? How'd you solve the case?
Well, I'll give the credit in terms of pointing the finger at who the killer was to my partner in this endeavor, Richard Convertino, retired federal prosecutor, former mob buster. He stumbled across this back in 1993 in a prosecution of the guy that the FBI now believes was the killer. And he was prosecuting him back in 93 and got him on a wiretap, pretty much admitting to his role in it. He was a name that hadn't really been considered a suspect in the years before that. Richard brought that information to the FBI back in 93. It was kind of dismissed. And then, 20 years later in 2013, the FBI has now kind of, or I should say then, back in 2013, came to the conclusion that what Rick had told them 20 years later, or 20 years earlier, I should say, was what had happened. So Rick really solved this back in 93 in terms of who the proverbial trigger man was. In terms of where the body is and where he was taken and where he was killed, I came across a lot of that pretty early on in my reporting 20 years ago. So this has been a two-decade journey for myself, and it's really just, you do your due diligence. I've interviewed almost every FBI agent that has worked the case. I've interviewed over a dozen members and associates, affiliates of the mafia family that carried out the crime, the Coco Israeli crime family. And I've interviewed out of those 12, 13 people, at least three of them, the FBI believes were involved in the crime. So I've hit it from all angles.
I guess what I'm getting at is over the last 50 years, there've been speculation, there's been stories, there's been movies made, there's been documentaries, there's been books written, mm-hmm. there's been all this stuff of different theories about what happened to Jimmy Hoffa. Why should people believe what you and your team have to say over everything else?
Because I'm the number one expert in the world on it. And nobody's investigated the case to the level that I have. I've interviewed more people, gone through more documents, talked to more experts and first, and in some cases, first, secondhand participants. So, I'm pretty confident in saying that nobody has researched this case or investigated this case more than I have. And I'm, I'll shout from the rooftops that nobody knows this case more than me. I'm the number one expert on Jimmy Hoffa in the world, and I'm ready and willing to tell everybody everything I've learned.
I know you don't want to scoop your own event coming up at the end of the month, but if you know where the body is, why don't you commission a dig to go get it?
Well, that would assume there's a body.
That's true. I think a lot of people assume that there isn't a body.
Right. Well, I think there, and even if there isn't a body, I think there's a lot of ways that that could have worked out or that could have played out. So that's part of our presentation. And I think it's in a lot of ways, it's been a wild goose chase. People have been running around for 50 years, very possibly looking for something that doesn't exist.
All very interesting. Hey, anything else about this event on the 23rd that you want our listeners to know about?
Just that we're kind of intending to take this event on the road, take it around to other parts of Michigan, hopefully take it out to New York, New Jersey, out to Las Vegas, and kind of really get some traction on putting this story to bed and giving everybody, not just Metro Detroiters, but giving everyone around the country some answers to what I think is the greatest unsolved mystery in American history.
Well, it sounds like it's solved now.
Yeah, that's what we're confident in telling people, that this is what happened. I think, us and the FBI can get to about 99.9% certainty that this is what happened. I think there might be one or two granulars that maybe we'll never know. But for the most part, we know who did it, where it was done, why it was done, and how it was done, and then how the body was disposed of.
Have you talked at all to the Hoffa family about it?
I have not talked personally with them recently. I had some contact with them a while back when I did my Amazon Prime documentary called Killing Jimmy Hoffa. But no, I have not spoken to them in recent times. So I know that they're aware of my reporting, though.
So do you think that they know what happened to Jimmy? Or do you think that they're going to be blindsided when you reveal what happened to him?
I do not think they'll be blindsided. I think they know all the players who were involved in this. I don't know for sure if they know the trigger man who we're going to name. I sense they do, but I can't say, I can't guarantee it. There's been some other reporting over the last couple of years where that person and his role has been intimated, but not fully revealed. I think that the Hoffa family probably knows who that is. And I do believe that the Hoffa family knows who did it and pretty much how it was done. I don't think the Hoffa family has a lot of, I think out of all the people in this, they've answered a lot of the questions. I think for them, they probably want this thing to come to an end as well, because it's just, you know, it's just, it's very emotionally draining. I'm sure every couple of years or whenever there's a new dig or a new search and it brings it all back up, I would think that they just probably want to put this thing to bed as well.
And to be clear, this is new information apart from what you already did in your documentary, right?
Yes, all brand new information.
Have you spoken to anybody at the FBI about this recently?
Yes. Well, I'm in contact with, I've been in communication with the FBI. They know all of this. Believe me, they know it better than anybody.
And they accept this is the truth?
Their theory is that the person that we're going to tell everybody who is the killer, it's their theory of who the killer is. It's not just my theory. It's their theory. Where the body went, I also believe is the FBI's theory, yes.
So this is all based on, is this new evidence or is this just stringing together evidence that's already been out there?
Well, new evidence that, it depends on what you consider new. I mean, like I said, the FBI has came to this conclusion back in 2013. They haven't made any public declarations, and that's why I'm doing this now. But this is something that the FBI has considered their working theory since 2013. So it's been 12 years.
So you sat on it for 12 years?
This is the 50-year anniversary. This is how we're rolling it out. Again, if you've been somebody that's been following my reporting for the last 20 years, nobody's written about this case more than I have. Nobody's drilled down on this case more than I have. That's all I can really tell you. That, you know, the resume speaks for itself, and I'm confident in saying this is the definitive last word on that.
Speaking of crime, let's move on to the latest thorn in President Donald Trump's side. Jeffrey Epstein and whether or not he left a client list. WWL Radio's Newell Normand believes the problem is one of Trump's own making. He explains why. Next.
It's to me that the Trump administration and Donald Trump, the president, individual, is now being hoisted by his own petard. It was obvious that there was a plan to try and discredit people by innuendo, by he and others, using and playing political game about trying to reveal maybe some titillating details about the Jeffrey Epstein files and what it would mean. And he went so far as to talk about him separating himself from Jeffrey Epstein at a period of time earlier than most because he just thought the guy was creepy or whatever word that he used. Well, it come back to haunt him, and that's what basically hoisted by your own petard mean. You are now being harmed by a plan that you had designed to harm someone else. Now you've got this Bongino versus Bondi situation. You've got a situation where Ghislaine Maxwell, who sits in jail right now, one of the few people that was there throughout the Epstein years, actually was the girlfriend of Epstein for a while or whatever her position was with Epstein, who wants to come and testify before Congress and reveal it all. That would be a great idea. Love to hear it. Love to have it televised. Let's figure out where this falls. I don't see any other way than just releasing the files. There's no need to redact. If there are things that are not worthy, they're not good information, you ought to be able to prove that I wasn't on the island on that day. I was over here. I didn't do that. I was over there. And let it, I mean, you've created this mess. You've created the curiosity of the country by playing these silly-ass political games with this horrific investigation of child pornography and, you know, child exploitation, sexual exploitation, and the like. I mean, you know, you play with fire, you get burned. There's no reason to even mention this case at all. During the course of a presidential election, there are those that chose to do it for their own gain. When you do it, when you open the door, guess whose hand gets slammed in the door? And that's where we are today. And it seems as though we have a lot of cabinet members that have opined about certain things, Pam Bondi to be included, that was playing along with trying to create an environment of titillating, you know, the public about the details of this. And at the same time, talking about how horrific some of the videos, that the videos may not ever be shown. I don't really care to see those, but I would like to see the intelligence and, you know, what name? Who played in this playpen game that was very, very stupid, dangerous, ignorant, and otherwise? How many lives have been destroyed as a result thereof? So when you're hoisted by your own petard, there's not really many ways to get out of this at this point in time. Now he's got Republicans turning on him because they want to see the right thing done. You've created this mess. You're the one that created the landscape, created the curiosity. Now you want us to just turn it off? Well, the president said yesterday that he's bored by this whole thing. Well, you know what's really boring is when you create scenarios that you know or you have little knowledge about whether or not any of it is true, but you know that the innuendo could potentially harm someone else. And then when it's time to pay the piper, you don't want to pay. That's boring. Well, it's time to pay up. And it's not going to be, Mr. President, as you pointed out in your most recent instructions to the Attorney General Pam Bondi. Go ahead, release the credible information. Well, define credible. How do you do so? You think it's going to go away? Do you think those, whether Democrats, Independents, Republicans, or otherwise, actually trust Pam Bondi at this point? The surefire way to eliminate all of anyone's hesitations or otherwise as to whether or not you're being transparent or not is release the file. Just release it. Now, all this talk about a list, I've heard this in so many different investigations of brothels. You can think back to the one here in New Orleans and others. We heard about the list. There were other cities, same thing, the list. We never did gain access to lists, you know, and then there were lists and the amounts that were paid and, you know, this, that. It's not often that I've ever, in the course of law enforcement, ever seen lists. They're names that appear in emails and documents and other ways, and somebody may compile a list, meaning law enforcement, but there's typically not the offenders developing a list or the black book, so to speak. You might see that with a bookmaker, but it's rare that I've ever seen that with a client list of prostitutes or otherwise, a list. But there's a list that could be developed. I mean, they're probably named in a whole host of investigative reports. There's videos. I'm sure we have identity of the people that are in the videos. That would be of consequence. Those names should be released. Well, one has to ask, why aren't these people charged? If, in fact, the girls were underage. I don't know what the statute of limitations are. Hopefully, this is not a situation that we're playing a delay game so that the statute of limitations actually run and these individuals can't be charged. That would really horrific. And let us hope that this is not a silly game that's being played along those lines. So my audience can't say that I don't respond to what your requests are. I took the time to look at it. I just hadn't. There's so many other things that are going on that I thought were more pressing. This is not going away. The files are there. I doubt very seriously that that, you know, they're going to go away, that they would be destroyed. I don't believe that for a moment. It is what it is, and it ain't going to change. So release it. Get it over with. Put it behind you. If your name's in there, President Trump, so what? You say you've done nothing wrong? Then let it go. There's videos and pictures of you with Jeffrey Epstein all over the place. It wouldn't surprise anyone to find out that your name may appear in an intel report or something else that comes up, or the course of an interview with somebody that they said that they were at a party with Jeffrey Epstein and your name comes up. So what? That happens. There are a lot of people that invited Jeffrey Epstein to a lot of different activities and things of that nature. I had no idea what he was doing. That's not unusual either. But it doesn't mean that it's not credible. The conclusions that are drawn from information like that are going to be what they're going to be. People are going to believe what they're going to believe. But what you have going on now, and the defensive posture, and, you know, I use these four words all the time that always kind of raises a red flag for me. When you start deflecting and you deny and you evade and you then go on the counterattack like you did the other day, typically there's something going on there that you don't want to have revealed. And that's a problem. The truth matters and the truth hurts. And the sooner that you stop playing these games with the public, the better off you're going to be, your administration and otherwise. You have two top-level justice officials, Dan Bongino, number two at the FBI, and Pam Bondi, the attorney general, at each other's throats right now. Bongino, because he thinks he's been played to beat a fool. As a talk show host, I'm sure that he received all kinds of information from members of your cabinet, members of your administration, members of the Republican Party, members of your campaign office that he talked about for a lengthy period of time. And now, all of a sudden, nada, nothing? Let's encourage Ghislaine Maxwell to come and testify before Congress. Let's hear what she wants in return. I'm sure she wants an early release, but let's evaluate what she has. Let's see whether or not she has something that y'all don't have. That would be interesting, right? That would be transparent, right? Because we put this in the political arena. We were not satisfied with leaving this in the investigative law enforcement arena. You put it in the political arena. And that's why I can say with confidence, you are now being hoisted by your own baton.
For more on what the Epstein situation means for the Trump administration, here's Tara Servatius at WORD Radio.
They're afraid of Trump. They're more afraid of the humiliation by Trump than they are that the deep state might dig something up on them and use it against them. For now. If Trump's approval dips below 50%, that entire equation changes. And it just happened. Mark Mitchell, Rasmussen reports he's been tracking this. 12-point plunge since the middle of June. A lot of it is self-inflicted. It's Epstein. It's epic. And they got to find a way out of this, or this is going to halt his agenda. These Republicans are going to go sideways. They don't want to be voting for all this stuff, trust me. They just don't dare not to. But Trump ends up back down 42-43%. He's going to lose control of them.
Well, just talking about his job approval rating, he hit net plus 8 June 15th, and it's been downhill since then. So he's lost 12 points now. He's underwater 4 points. People who've been following us know that we've been putting out a chart pretty much daily that overlays all the presidential net approvals going back to Obama 1. And where I was going into July 4th was I said, well, Trump's probably a day or two away from crossing over Obama's numbers. And where are we now? Donald Trump is crossing under Joe Biden's numbers. And so that's a pretty big reversal in less than a week. And the biggest news, I mean, that I can attribute to this, it's like maybe people have heartburn that the One Big Beautiful Bill was, the messaging was a bit of a mess. It doesn't cut enough. Maybe it's the news that Republican establishment is playing footsie with amnesty because of all the people who love slave labor. But the big one is Epstein, and people keep downplaying it. But this is not about a guy who died in 2019. This is about a representation of two-tier justice and about unaccountable government.
Trump doubled down yesterday, and it did not help. He's at this point, just stop talking about this. And it was actually kind of brilliant what they did yesterday. And I got to give Pam Bondi some credit. She took one on the chin. Trump came out yesterday and said, hey, Bondi can release what she wants, basically taking it off his blame plate. And he hands it to her. And she says, no, I'm not releasing anything. I'm done. There's nothing here. So that puts the blame and the onus back on her. It was a two-step hit. Really was Bondi taking one for the team yesterday. Trump made a massive, and I mean massive, error when they were at that press conference. And Bondi was explaining why she thought that Epstein, there's nothing there to prosecute with the Johns. And Trump steps in and just starts ripping his followers for caring about Epstein. And this might have worked. This might have put the onus back on her yesterday. But God bless him, he can't stop talking.
President, I know you've urged people to move on, but I'm curious, why do you think your supporters in particular have been so interested in the Epstein story and so upset about how it's been handled? Why do you think that is?
Why they would be so interested. He's dead for a long time. He was never a big factor in terms of life. I don't understand what the interest or what the fascination is. I really don't. And the credible information's been given. Don't forget, we went through years of the Mueller witch hunt and all of the different things, the Steele dossier, which was all fake. All that information was fake. But I don't understand why the Jeffrey Epstein case would be of interest to anybody. It's pretty boring stuff. It's sorted, but it's boring. And I don't understand why it keeps going. I think, well, really only pretty bad people, including fake news, want to keep something like that going. But credible information, let them give it. Anything that's credible, I would say, let them have it.
Okay, and that was the important part to Bondi.
But she's handled it very well, and it's going to be up to her. Whatever she thinks is credible, she should release, yeah.
He should just leave it there, put the onus on her. She'd probably have to leave. But that's what this is going to take to get out of this. And we can continue with the other 11 rescission spills. We can continue with probably the best 2 weeks, almost 3 weeks now, minus Epstein, of an American presidency I've ever seen, short of the Berlin Wall coming down. I think there's honestly no other equivalent. And to be in the hole like he is right now, he is under 50%. And when that happens, he's not going to be able to get the votes for this stuff from Republicans. They're only voting with him because they're scared. He's got to keep them scared. So I hope there's a way out of this. I don't know what it is, but continuing to talk is not. Continuing to beat up your supporters. That, by the way, when you look at the Rasmussen polling, Mark Mitchell was talking about, he's polling likely voters. The fall off in support for Trump is not Democrats. It's us. It's his hardcores. He is losing people that are part of the coalition because of this Epstein stuff. And it's the strangest thing I've ever said. I don't understand it. Came out overnight and said it was all fake. Obama made it up. Well, the problem with that is that I've been, and Ann Coulter pointed this out overnight, I've been following Epstein and the Epstein case on talk radio since the early 2000s. Obama wasn't in office then. We were covering it in Florida back then. Nobody's going to buy that. So either stop talking or come up with a better solution. Trump's numbers plunging by 12 points over the last month, including the two best weeks of a presidency I've ever seen, minus maybe the Berlin Wall coming. You get credit for that. And this is incredible. He's not wrong. He is incredibly frustrated. Given everything he's achieved, the court victories, the economic victories, the humiliation of the Tariffmageddon media, supposed to be a total disaster by now. We're supposed to be just roiled by inflation. It's going to be terrible. And it didn't happen. Didn't happen. By, you know, for the most part, the economy is on fire and everybody's talking about Epstein. And blasting your own followers for caring about Epstein is not a strategy, especially not since last night, folks. Oh, my gosh. Okay. Wired took a look at the metadata on that video, which is supposed to, according to Bongino and Cash Patel and Bondi, conclusively prove that Epstein killed himself because nobody went to his cell. Except the two doors in the video are not his cell. They're somewhere else. His cell is somewhere else. It's not covered because that camera was out. Kind of didn't mention that. Yeah, well, now we're finding out it's not a minute that was removed. It was 3 minutes. And they're able to tell that by the edits on the software. So in other words, the embedded metadata that goes with the released video. Not 1 minute, 3 minutes. Folks, this is as bad as handing out binders that allegedly have the, you know, Epstein list in them, the Epstein information, and then people look it up and it's not even the best stuff that's been reported. We've covered better stuff here on the show. This is the most bizarre self-inflicted disaster I've ever seen. Again, we wouldn't even be here if Pam Bondi didn't do that whole round of interviews in the beginning of the year saying, hey, we're going to release it. Hey, look over here. Hey, come to the White House, get your binder. Nobody would, I mean, occasionally some troll online might say, hey, where's the Epstein documents? That'd be it. This is totally self-inflicted. It is one of the most bizarre things I've ever seen. Trump has done more damage to himself and the people around him have done more damage to him in the last month than the deep state did in his first term. Yeah, well, it's roughly. But this time, totally self-inflicted. And it ended yesterday in the absolutely bizarre spectacle. You told me 6 months ago this would happen, I'd be like, what? The Republicans just all voted not to release the Epstein file. 9 didn't vote. So Republicans blocking 211, Democrats wanting the release, 210. And you know the Democrats don't want the release because most people in there are Democrats. But they're just counting on the Republicans to save them. I mean, this is just, they can't believe that. This is the first break they've got. So Congress vote with Republican votes, straight party line votes. I can't imagine the lobbying it took to do this. You know why? Mike Johnson, the speaker, less than a week ago, went on camera on a Benny Johnson interview, said, yeah, no, I really want the Epstein files released. I know I'll make that happen. He voted no. He voted to keep them quiet. Folks, it's been the Democrats, I mean, the Republicans demanding the release of this for years. So this was an obviously whipped party line vote, hardcore whip by the Trump administration. Why won't they just look? All they got to do is compile a list. At this point, everybody who look, make a list of everyone who ever wrote on the Lolita Express. We know the FBI has that. We know they have the manifest from the flights. That's fact. We know it. Put it out there. These aren't heard things. Put it out there and say, look, a lot of people wrote on this plane. That's not any kind of evidence that they did bad things. Maybe there's some people in here who did bad things. We don't have the evidence of it, and be done. There is a truck, literally a semi-truck load of stuff that the FBI swept up from the raids of Epstein's property. Where is it? Compile your own list. And, you know, I keep coming back to, I think the problem is Trump will be on it. Not that he did anything. I don't think he did. If they had video or proof of any kind, we'd have seen it. Trust me. But we know he was on the plane. We've seen the pictures. We know he was at Epstein's residences. We've seen the pictures along with like everybody. Trump will be in there. And if you release that, there's going to be demands from the public for prosecution. I guarantee on a lot of these guys, they don't have the compromise. At least the Trump administration can't get a hold of it. And what? Then they don't take any action and they'll say it's because Trump's on the list. When the actual reality is it would be hard to prosecute these people. It's probably something like that. Probably. But this is not going away. It's not. And I don't know what the solution is. And here's the other problem. Alan Dershowitz, folks, this is so strange. Alan Dershowitz is Trump's personal attorney and Epstein's attorney. He says, there is a list. I've seen it. And Trump and Bondi and Patel don't have it.
Is the government hiding a client list or anything that the Trump administration could release tonight?
No, there is no client list. There never has been a client list. A client list suggests that Jeffrey Epstein made a list of people to whom he trafficked women. What there is a redacted FBI affidavit from accusers. There are several of them. From accusers that accuse Jeffrey, that accuse various people of having improper sex. And that has been redacted. The names of the people accused have been blacked out. Now, of course, because I was the lawyer and I did only investigations, I know who all these people are. I could figure out, based on everything that I saw, who Mr. X is, Mr. Y is, and Mr. Z. I can tell you right now, none of them are public figures who are currently in office. Some of them were previously in office. Some of them are dead. But there is no client list. And the redactions could be undone if you go to court. So many of the things that are being suppressed by two judges in Manhattan. And they're doing it largely to protect the alleged accusers who are, in the view of the judges, victims, even though we don't know what their actual status is. But the judges have issued orders, which is why I can't disclose things I'd love to disclose, saying that you can't disclose this information. But Pam Bondi and the Justice Department and Donald Trump are not responsible for that. I don't know of any information that they could disclose that they haven't disclosed. Now, maybe there is some, but I'm simply not aware of it. And so I think it's important to place the blame where the blame deserves to be placed. The vast majority of people who are in the files, and I know them all, I've seen all the names, the vast, vast majority of them have already been disclosed. They're in articles all over the world. They're in books that have been written. So if we got everything, you would be shocked how few names are there that haven't already been disclosed. The media hasn't, by the way, done a good enough job in finding the people who have been disclosed in the public record.
True.
So that's that list.
So just say that. We don't have it. Somebody disappeared. I don't know. Say something, because this isn't working.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Red Meat. Don't forget to smash that subscribe button for your favorite tasty assortment of conservative audio. And follow your local Odyssey talk station to get shows from these hosts delivered daily wherever you get your podcasts. Until next time, stay hungry. Thank you for listening to this episode of Red Meat. Don't forget to smash that subscribe button for your favorite tasty assortment of conservative audio. And follow your local Odyssey talk station to get shows from these hosts delivered daily wherever you get your podcasts. Until next time, stay hungry.